The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show today on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you, a hearty welcome on this Friday, September the 6th, 2019. We are live right here as we have been each weekday during the noon hour since January of 2011 when the whole project kicked off. That means next year will be the 10th year anniversary year for the Buckmaster Show during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts on my website, buckmastershow.com. Big shout out to some of the media partners. These are fellow journalists who support the work we do here, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan, if you're listening. Dan Scheer, I know Dan is probably not listening because he's on a trip over in the Holy Land. Dan has been such a big supporter, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. That's Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, big supporter. Tucson Local Media Group, its portfolio of publications includes Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Jim Nintzel's the executive editor of the Weekly, and he'll be joining us at about 40 minutes past the hour for our roundtable portion of the show. The Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Joining me in studio in our conversation with the Congressman, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim was honored with one of journalism's highest awards. The Society of Professional Journalists selected Tim a couple of weeks ago and gave him a $75,000 grant. It's a year-long grant. Tim, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What will you use the money for?
You have to make a proposal.
So Is that your new truck in the park?
So part of the proposal is you say how you think you might want to spend the money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so my proposal was about government actors' efforts to manipulate or sway public opinion about the border and immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I'm looking at it from different scales in different places. I got a tip related to Honduras this week that I probably will be following up in Honduras, and that kind of thing is possible.
Yeah, be careful in Tegucigalpa, one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
Yeah, I think San Pedro Sula, Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, you know, the point is to be able to go around,
sure,
and really dig into some stories, and I've got you know, a half dozen different ones all lined up to pursue, and some fall off the list and others come on. And
okay.
Yeah. It's gonna be a good
congratulations,
year.
Timothy. Congressman, you will be seeking and standing for election, I assume, a ninth term next year. Do you want to make it official right now here on the Buckmaster Show?
Go ahead. I thought I had, but but yes, of course. I feel that we're at least from the Democratic Party's perspective, there's an opportunity to retain the majority in the House, and it would be very important to continue for me, and I think for the committee as well, and for the community as well, is to continue as chairman of that resources committee. That I would be second in seniority on the education and workforce. Seniority aside, there have been issues that I have been pushing for a long, long time. There have been rear action battles that we've had to have over the kind of worst legislation that has been promoted by the majority in the last decade. And we see the same thing occurring right now with this administration and Trump and the various people that he's had, Bernhardt now as Secretary of Interior, and the issues in EPA. And there would be an opportunity with the majority in the Senate and a president the Democratic president to move some of this agenda and to begin, quite frankly, to undo some of the damage that has been done to this country as a whole. And that's an opportunity, I think, regardless of seniority or tenure, that I want to participate in, and I want to participate in that effort.
Congressman, when you talk about damage, your particular area of greatest expertise, perhaps, is this on the Natural Resources Committee. What do you think is going on? What's this damage that's happened?
There's been, the issue of public lands, and you know, it's always been a multi-use philosophy. Yes, extraction was part of that multi. But what has happened, particularly in the last 18 months, it has become a sole source for fossil fuels. It's become a sole source for hard rock mining. It's become a sole source for extraction, period, whether it be natural gas, oil, mining, etc. And the consequences of that is that laws that have been put in place to assure public participation, laws to protect endangered species, laws to protect Native American rights in decision-making, and laws that have been made to preserve things like the Antiquities Act and others have all been violated. The rules have changed. And I think the conflict of interest within the Interior Department is rampant. And so the effort, and that's what I mean, I think it was the egregious thing. We've always had the debate on that multi-use. Me being more of a conservationist, that debate was necessary. But now the debate is, how do we even retain a semblance of multi-use in our public land? So I want to return a conservation ethic. I want it, and quite frankly, to make that department a very responsive, transparent department, which it's not doing now, and in fact, it's doing the opposite.
Is there a crack with Judge Soto's decision, which some are saying is the most important decision in mining in decades? Judge Soto, with his decision on Rosemont Mine, is that the crack in the 1872 mining law?
Yeah, and I think that is also the impetus for pushing the reform legislation that we have, and that is the one that we put together. I and the staff and it does three fundamental things. It affirms to a great extent what Judge Soto ruled. It also provides to the agency a power that they don't have, and that is to say no. Mm-hmm. And 1872 mining law, 1872, basically prohibits the land agency from saying no. And the third thing is process. And to strengthen that process, to reinvigorate NEPA, to bring sacred sites, consultation with Native Nations up to a top-tier issue as opposed to a back issue. Those are the three major changes that we're doing. And the big one, and people are always surprised by this, we collect no royalty on anything that's extracted, whether it be a diamond or copper. There's no royalties collected. And mining companies say that the value, let's talk about Rosemont, that's proprietary. We can't let you know how much that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
We introduce a 12% royalty equal to what gas and oil pay on public land as well. And that would be used for remediation. It would be used for closing mines that have been abandoned. And it would be a restoration fund for sites and to also back up that public process, to have resources there so that public process is always strong and very effective.
Does the appeal have legs?
I think
Rosemont did announce this week, by the way, they are going with the appeal.
I really believe Judge Soto and from mm-hmm. people that are lawyers, and I'm not, that he thread the needle perfectly. And legally, I think it sent a strong shiver of fear up the mining industry's back. Because what he said is, if you're going to use this public land as a dumping ground, and that's all they want 2,500 acres for, they're on private property. They want to dig a hole, they can dig a hole. But this is where they need to dump their waste. And he said, you had put no value on that land, therefore no. And I think it's a very strong opinion, and I think it's going to survive.
The question of 12% royalties, that's a bill you've introduced? Or?
Yeah. Okay. We passed it once before when we were in the majority in 2009, and it died in the Senate. I anticipate the same results this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think But that doesn't worry me as much, because I think, you know, one of the things that the House of Representatives, and one of and I think that's why it's I feel that I can go back and lend some real leadership to some of these issues, is that the House of Representatives should pass these bills. We should provide the American people with a choice between what we see the Senate doing nothing of and the aberration that we have in the White House. That the House is doing the people's business, that it is passing legislation. 5 months, H.R. 8 has been sitting 6 months now in the majority leader's office, and that is the background check bill around the issue of gun violence. When we go back, we're going to have more bills. We're going to have assault weapon ban. We're going to have magazine issues in terms of how much ammo. And those are going to be part of what we do when we go back. That's an urgent matter.
You've been in Congress for, what, 17 years now?
Mm-hmm.
How is it different when you're in the majority, especially as a chairman, versus when you're in the minority?
It's an opportunity. And I, it's totally different. Yeah. It's totally different. In the majority, you drive the agenda. And just as when we wanted to talk about important issues that we felt were not being heard, we didn't drive the agenda. The majority drove the agenda, so we never heard about those things. The things we're doing now around climate change, around indigenous people's rights and tribal rights, around the Antiquities Act and Bears Ears, around ANWR. We're going to be having three bills to ban offshore drilling off three significant shores. That'll be next week as well. So my point is that we have not had the opportunity to push our agenda. And the American people are going to judge us. That's the agenda they want. But given what we've seen and the responses, for at least in public opinion, they want a different agenda.
Is there any chance of any of this getting through the Senate? Is there any deal that can be struck on any of these topics?
I don't know. That's a great question, because see, if it essentially takes the heart of what you're trying to do, that's not a deal. If it's watered down to where it's basically has no teeth and cannot really do its job as a piece of legislation and law, then I don't think you deal with those things. I think there's a fundamental center to all these things, and that's making it into law and having capacity for enforcement and public and a transparency. Those things have to be in there. They're not in there, then I don't think you can negotiate.
12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We have Congressman Grijalva with us in studio. The live line number is 790-2040 if you would like to join in our discussion, and the discussion will turn to politics after we take the break. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're here, of course, each day during the noon hour, each weekday, and Friday is a kind of a special day. We focus on one particular newsmaker, and that newsmaker today is Congressman Raul Grijalva, who will be seeking a ninth two-year term in the United States House of Representatives. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star and waiting patiently on the live line is longtime mining, local mining consultant to Rosemont Mine at one point, Rick Grinnell. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Great, gentlemen. How are you all?
Good. Get closer to the phone there, Rick.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
All right. Congressman, I got to be honest with you, sir. Go back many, many years, and I've really felt that your concerns for the environment, for other social issues, have far outweighed any opportunity for any kind of reasonable consultation in regards to the economic impacts that this industry has provided Southern Arizona and many people in your own district that have been employed through the mining industry. And the real sad part of this whole process is that we have one judge who has made a unilateral decision based on a law that has evolved over time and yet gone all the way back to try to mitigate this thing to favor the environmentalist. The environmental movement in this country has taken away so many economic opportunities that we become reliant on China, on Russia, and other countries for our own natural resources that we have such a quantity of here.
Okay, Rick. Thank you. Go ahead, Congressman. Your response to Rick Grinnell.
It's good to hear Rick's voice again. It's a perpetual argument, and the argument is as old as the debate, if not older, and that is, mining does everything economically for a community. And so the consequences of that extraction should not be taken into account because it does economically so much for the community. The economics of it can be discussed and debated, and I think there's an argument on the other side that's pretty strong, that there's also a cost attendant to mining that the rest of us have to pay. But beyond that, you know, the issue is we. And I think Rick represents that 1872 mentality. Go west, young person or man. Do what you need to do. The land is yours to take. There are no rules other than you do what you need to do. That's the 1872 mining law, with no restrictions and no ability to change any plans. What the reforming this law does, and the discussion around Rosemont does, is that I think the mining industry, it behooves the mining industry to look at its business and its industry with a different perspective, that we need to reform this law so we can help mining enter the 21st century as opposed to being stuck 100 years plus or more in the back. Those rules are not applicable. This is the new West. It is not the little grubstaker pulling his donkey up the mountain to look for something. This is the reality. This is a huge population. We have water shortages, and the industry pays zero back to the taxpayer for what they take out of public land. So all those things, that we're talking about the 21st century. This is not to destroy mining, stop mining. It is to bring you into the future so that the people that work in those mines get their pensions like they should, and we're not fighting Grupo Mexico that is reneging on every promise he made to those unions. and the list goes on. So, yeah, it's a worthwhile debate. And I think cost, economic benefit, and the 21st century need to be on the agenda, not just the same discussion about 1872 and the mining industry is sacrosanct and can't be held to any accountability. Those times are over.
But practically speaking, he's right, isn't he, that the mining companies, if they see enough cost put in their way due to environmental regulations or whatever else, then they end up going overseas to mine copper or what have you, go to Indonesia, go to Africa, where there are less regulations. I mean, it's just the way it works, isn't it?
And a big factor. I don't know how much of, you know, I don't think the whole factor is the regulatory issue that we have. And the processes that we have and the laws that we have in place, I think it is labor costs, pure and simple. The exploitation in Peru of those workers, the exploitation in Colombia, Argentina, the list goes on all over the world, in Africa, no safety, no pensions, salary, one-tenth of what miners in this country make. I don't think we should sacrifice that either. But I think a lot of the movement out by international firms, there's no local American mining firms to say. They're all multinational. They go where the labor is the cheapest. And that is, I don't think that's been factored in by the mining industry as to why the reason that they leave the United States is, I don't think so much because regulatory as it is about the cost of labor.
All right, let's go to caller Matt has called us at 790-2040. Matt.
Hello, Congressman Grijalva. First of all, thank you for your service in Congress, and I don't think people realize that being chairman of Natural Resources is a huge benefit for Tucson and ultimately the country. One of our communities in southern Arizona, Ajo, was recently hit with a massive change to their rates in electric, water, and sewage. By the Arizona yep. Corporations Commission. As you know, the Federal Power Act basically, you know, confines, you know, that the Corporation Commission, the states, have a huge role in those issues. But as we've seen with APS and other things, you know, they seem to be out of control, and we seem to have lost control of regulating them. Do you think that Southern Arizona... what we should do with regards to impressing upon the Corporations Commission to rethink the Ajo rate change in July. Do you have any thoughts on
we
it?
We joined you and the community group that we met with a couple times on that in forwarding our opposition to the Corporation Commission on what many of us perceive to be arbitrary and not fact-based increases. But the long term of it is, As part of utility reform, which would also involve the better use of clean energy, opening up grids so that alternative and renewable energy can reach people and people have choices, I think that that the Corporation Commission and has to be an independent body. And right now, as we've seen with APS and probably the other utility companies, I don't want to include them all, but you know. They were joined at the hip in trying to elect certain Corporation Commission members. They spent $4 billion that was disclosed by APS, but maybe it was really $10 million in an election. That's the power. And I think the North Dark Money that former Governor Goddard is circulating is a good one. But I also think that there has to be a general reform of the relationship between utility companies and the public itself and the public entities in the state. And that doesn't exist right now. It's an independent body with the ability to spend as much as they want to influence decision makers. And those kinds of bans and restrictions, I think, are something that all of us should be open to. It's unfair to the regular consumer, and it's certainly unfair to, as the example we have in Ajo and other rural communities across Arizona, we've seen their rate increases jump at the without the justification.
All right, it's 12:30. We're going to keep the congressman for five more minutes. Jim Nintzel's already on the line. Jim, if you can hear me, I'll go to you here if you have a question for the congressman. But first of all, I want to ask the congressman who is backing Elizabeth Warren. He was on board very early last time around with Bernie. what will it look like going into the convention? Biden and Warren with Bernie kind of a distant third. Is that a pretty good assessment?
Yeah, that's a pretty good assessment. I don't know how distant the third will be, but I kind of see that lineup that you're saying, but I think Harris will be prominent. And I endorse Elizabeth because I think that, you know, she defines populism in a way that I think is understandable. She defines economics, and her intellect is very powerful, but she's got a great heart. And I think she's catching on. People are coming to realize that maybe you can run a campaign without big corporate checks. Maybe you can run a totally grassroots campaign, and maybe you can do it without a consultant or a pollster. And that would be, and she's doing it, and she's picking up momentum, and I think she's going to surprise a lot of people as we go forward.
Tim Steller.
Congressman, you are obviously a big supporter of Regina Romero to become the Democratic nominee for mayor, and now she is, and she's running in the general election. What are your thoughts on the campaign that she just won? Is it especially significant?
I think it's huge, and when I was on a talk show, and they asked me that not a similar question, and I said, you know, this has historic content, but it also, and I think that's significant. Latina, female, that's historic, in and of itself. But I think what's also historic is that you're seeing the future of politics as opposed to the past. And, you know, some of the wringing of hands and all the skies falling and business will shut down. It's the end of the world as we know it here in Tucson. I think that's just hysteria. The reality is that she ran a tough campaign and ran it and kept the narrative and kept the message. And despite things said, done, against her, she plowed through it and never pushed back the same way. And I admire her for that. And I'm looking forward to, I think is going to be not only a historic mayor in the sense of who she is, but in the content and the agenda, I think is going to be looking forward. I think that'll be healthy.
Congressman, one of the whispers in the aftermath that I hear now and then is that obviously there was a massive outside campaign spending in her favor, by a group such as CHSPA, which collected money from Planned Parenthood and other organizations and other groups. I think it added up to 400,000 or something by the end. Obviously, her campaign can't coordinate with that. The whisper I've heard is, well, it was Grijalva. He's the one who kind of gave them the nod and said, you better help her out. Did you play any role in that?
No. And that's insulting at two levels. Let me tell you why. First of all, the people doing the whispering are the same people that whisper about anything that I'm involved with peripherally or deeply, like I was in this campaign. And because I was at that level, I had to honor that wall.
In other words, you couldn't deal with these outside groups?
No, and I didn't want to either. And I didn't want to either. And because... And here's the other part of the insult, that these groups supported her, wanted an advocate, and realized that, you know, they have the capacity within their staff, within their leadership, to make decisions on their own. They don't need me. They don't need anybody else. And what happened is that they decided, we're going to get behind this person. And because she's the only one running clean, let's not take the chance that money will come in later. Let's us up front do it, set the separation. That's what happened. And then, you know, you also, I think on her own with the money she raised clean, she had a pretty significant ground game going the whole time. It wasn't a fluke. It was a win. It's 50%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people are trying to make that election, delegitimize it. Oh, well, it was a fluke. Oh, the outside money. You know, that kind of whining is unnecessary. This was a clean, straight-up win, period. And in politics, you know, I hope all of us get behind and make sure that she's mayor. And I think most people will. The bitterness that will remain is not so much that Regina won. It's going to be, I could have won if. Or should have won if. Well, those ifs are gone. It's over, and it's time to move on.
And they talk about the Grijalva machine.
Yeah, well, we're going to coin that, but we'll
trademark it.
And these usually from people that have opposed me my whole career. Now, you know, machine seems to be the nice that's been going on for a couple more than a couple of years. But I think we're the Grijalva machine, which is the campaign. My campaign is gearing up for this next election. That's what we're doing. If you want to call it a machine, I call it a campaign. But that's the one we put together to try to reelect me.
All right. We're going to leave it right there. Congressman Grijalva, thank you very much. We'll let you get back to oiling the parts of the machine. How does that? There you go. All right. Thanks a lot for coming in, Congressman. Tim Steller sticks around. Jim Nintzel's on the live line. We'll talk a little bit on the Friday roundtable right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and anytime in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125. East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition, 10:30, The Voice, trusted news talk. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. On the live line is Jim Nintzel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Let's pick up on the congressman talking about the Regina Romero primary victory. Jim, what is the path to victory that you possible, the possible path to victory for Dr. Ed Ackerley? And of course, Regina Romero winning was what I believe Dr. Ackerley was hoping would happen that he could kind of build a campaign now around those that don't like Rahina. Am I on? Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can certainly talk to Ed about this himself, but I think that you know, the last time someone other than a Democrat was able to win an election in Tucson was when Bob Walkup defeated Molly McCassin in 1999. Now, that was 20 years ago, and I think the primary race was even more divisive than this one was. I mean, following the election this time out, Steve Farley quickly endorsed Rahina Romero in his concession speech. So I don't think you're going to see the same kind of divisions among Democrats that you saw in 1999. But in that year, Molly McCassin came out of that race with a lot of Democrats who thought she was too far to the left. And as a result, they defected over to the Walkup side. Our old friend, the late Steve Emmerine, a longtime business-friendly Democrat in this town, you know, formed Democrats for a Walkup. And he was able to capture a lot of independent votes, the Republican base, as well as some disgruntled Democrats, and was able to narrowly win a mayoral race, which is a rare thing for a Republican to do in the city of Tucson. And, Ed Ackerley is actually a lifelong Democrat who just thought that he'd have a better shot as an independent than in the Democratic primary. And that's where he stands now. But the trick to that is really capturing, Republicans. And I'm not sure he will be able to do that, although they may look at those two candidates and say, well, he's better than a D, so we'll vote for him.
Sure.
But he does not have the party organization behind him or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, that Ackerley is trying to occupy the walk-up space. But the problem is he's not running against Molly McCassin. Rahina Romero is a different kind of candidate, different kind of support behind her. And she's positioned herself, I would say, a little more to the middle than, you know, at least she was coming in to the race. You agree, Jim?
Yeah, you know, if you ask Rahina a question, you will frequently, and I think this has probably happened to you as well, Tim, find her steering that question back to economic development in some way or another. And I think that's one of the things that she recognizes, that a lot of people are going to say that she's bad for business, and she's been definitely trying to talk up that side of things out on the campaign trail. She's come out against the Sanctuary City Initiative, and that's going to be, I think, something that, again, would be something you could beat up on her if she had embraced it, but she has not. So,
right. The Molly McCassin of 1999 would probably be in favor of the Sanctuary Initiative of 2019.
Yeah, she was the CAP initiative that was on the ballot that year.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, and this might have been talked about while I was away last week, Randy Dorman, the downtown developer, picked up, about 10% when it was all said and done. Rahina had 49% and Farley had 38%. If Dorman had not gotten into the race, where would those votes have gone, Tim and Jim?
I mean, you can't say that Farley would have gotten all of them, so I would guess that if Dorman were not in the race, that Rahina Romero would have been over 50%. I mean, everything else being equal. I mean, obviously, this is a counterfactual that takes away the whole campaign the way it went. But, I don't think that, Farley, let's say he would have gotten most of those votes. Yeah, that still would have left Rahina Romero the victor.
Dittos.
But there is something to be said that if Randy had not been in the race, that you would have had more of a focus, kind of a head-to-head kind of horse race comparing Farley to Rahina. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Sure. Well, the same thing happened in the governor's race when Kelly Fryer got in
late,
and that kind of, I think that more legitimately bled support from Farley, who then lost to David Garcia. I mean, he's got to feel snake bit, not getting at least a person-to-person, two-person run, always having a third person to worry about.
Yeah.
I think that race, when it came down to it, we did see mostly Farley versus Rahina, certainly in the advertising back and forth were attack ads on one or the other. I don't know that, and most of the articles, I think, pretty much focused on the two of them. I don't think that it drew that much attention away from.
How about McSally? Senator McSally looks like she will have a primary challenger. Gentlemen, is this someone that could give her a pretty good race?
It depends on how much money he's going to spend. I still would think that she's going to prevail in that primary. She prevailed in the primary against Kelly Ward. There is certainly a sector of the Republican Party that is distrustful of Martha McSally. No matter how much she embraces Trump, they say she's not embracing him enough and isn't doing enough. And I think it does force her to once again stick very close to Trump throughout this campaign, but that's sort of the dice she rolled last time, and you know, she's been through so many transformations as a candidate over the years that I don't know that another one is really possible. But it is politics, and it is a business of reinvention, so I suppose she could try to distance herself from Trump, and I don't think she will, and I think that's the one thing that damaged her, or one of the many things that damaged her in her race against Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's not unusual for candidates to run to the extreme in their party in the primary and then run to the middle in the general election. I mean, that's kind of the pattern. But, as you mentioned, in McSally's general election race, they made the choice of keeping her close to Trump. It's impossible to know whether she would have won if she had distanced herself more in the general election campaign. But yeah, she just really doesn't have a choice at this stage. She's running in a party that really likes the president. That's all there is to it.
Jim, in the Tucson Weekly this week, you have an article written about President Trump's psychological well-being. We'll put it like that. What's that all about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying behind the scenes that they think Donald Trump is really degenerating mentally.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, if you look at videos of his energy levels when he first announced his campaign versus videos of him today, he definitely seems to have slowed down considerably. You look at that at how much his travel seems to hurt him. He came back from that European trip, which he called he actually had to make it shorter. He skipped his visit to Denmark. He's canceled another trip since then. It seems like travel really does a lot of damage to the president. And there's a lot of people out there who are starting to really question whether he is all there. And so we had my friend Curtis McCrary sort of put together a lot of the speculation into an article here and put it out there. And, I think it's an open question at this point.
This is a little different from degeneration, but the signs of a problem or a real flaw, a fundamental flaw, are there. And you can see it in this obsession over whether Hurricane Dorian was going to hit Alabama, whether he was right or wrong to have said that on Sunday. There's a obsessiveness to not admitting error or to demanding praise that, you know, politicians do like praise, of course, but this is a whole different level, and it feels almost like a disordered level, at least to me.
Yeah, and this, Tim, you were posting something on Facebook today about the whole thing, the obsession with Alabama, and I added my two cents, saying basically we've got several hundred thousand people in the Carolinas without power, and we have a disaster of biblical proportions. I'm telling you, if you've seen the video from the Bahamas, from Grand Bahama and Abaco Island, it looks like a huge bomb. I don't want to say like a nuclear bomb, but like many bombs just completely destroyed that area. And I would think that the focus of the president right now should be about not worrying about what happened 5 days ago with Alabama, but focusing on our people in the Carolinas and trying to help our neighbors who are, the island, I believe, is 100 miles off the coast of West Palm Beach. Grand Bahama. So we're talking about some dear neighbors here, and they're saying that the death toll could be in the thousands in the Bahamas. So there you go. Tim or Jim, any comments?
No, it's just, it's still happening right now,
right.
Apparently. So the hurricane is, scraping the coast. So it's something for us to watch out for, but not in Alabama.
No.
No, I just think it's appalling that as you said, the focus probably should be on something other than whether the president should be drawing maps with Sharpies that contradict the actual evidence.
But then we're accused of bringing this up again, but when the president tweets about it, 6 days in a row, of course the media is going to pick up on it.
Right, like it could have been left yesterday
yeah.
when they put out a statement from an admiral about it, which was laughable. But then he picked it up again this morning. I feel like I can't be blamed for pointing out the obvious here. Like, this is crazy.
All right, Tim Stellar, thank you
very
much.
It's all about him,
Tim, well, look, anything coming up in the paper Sunday that you want to promote?
I'm working on a piece related to the Arizona Supreme Court. Doug Ducey's kind of completed his packing of the court this week by getting, and I'm just reading here that that Bill Montgomery was sworn in today, and rather than have their public ceremony that they usually have, they did it behind closed doors, and Hank Stevenson, my old colleague, is saying that Montgomery went out the back door and got in his car and peeled out. There's a lot going on here. It's a big thing. It's going to have effects on our state for years to come, and so that's what I'm going to be writing about.
Okay.
Yeah, the fix was in from the jump there, man.
All right, Jim Nintzel, thanks. We'll look for your work in the weekly. Have a great weekend, Jim.
You too.
Thanks a lot. Jim Nintzel with us on the live line and Tim Stellar in the studio. And coming up next, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson is going to be hosting our weekend watch segment. Dan's going to be with me in studio while Matt Russell is at an upstate New York wedding today. And so, yeah, there you go. Thanks for Dan coming in. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Stir it up, baby. Weekend watch. Normally, with Mr. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business. But Matt is doing some partying, I think, in upstate New York, getting ready for a family wedding weekend watch presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Bob Dio didn't bring up the current noontime temperature over in Silver City, but something tells me it will be around, I don't know, 80, 85 degrees, something like that. There you go, 86. How do you beat that? So we've been telling everybody it's going to be at least 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City. Well, it's more than 10 degrees cooler in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. How about a weekend getaway over there, a great part of the southwestern land of enchantment? Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is filling in for Matt Russell, Dan Gibson, who was filling in for me while one of the days I was away on Vancouver Island. Thank you, Mr. Gibson, for that.
I'm the discount version of all the Buckmaster contributors. Like, the you're like, listen, you can't quite get the real thing. It's like with the sodas at the supermarket that aren't quite Coke and Pepsi. I'm one of those.
Oh, that's a good one. Condensed host.
Yeah.
Just add water.
Yeah, it's just one of those.
It's similar. Bob Dio. Very good.
Almost as good, but not quite the same.
Anyway, what's going on this weekend?
There's really only one. There's one thing you have to care about, Bill.
What's that?
Just simply one thing.
What's that?
September 6th through 15th, it's Sonoran Restaurant Week.
Oh, yes.
Now, you may say to yourself, why does this week have 10 days? Mm-hmm. Don't ask. Just enjoy it.
Okay.
It's fine. Weeks can be whatever. It's postmodern world, baby.
Who's hosting that?
Well, Storyteller PR is Laura Reese, who's and her husband Travis Reese are running it. Mm-hmm. Visit Tucson, of which I am some, is the title sponsor. We thought it would be a great idea to celebrate Tucson restaurants in a time period, which are generally a little bit tough for hospitality. First week of September is generally the slowest week of the year. 34 restaurants on board.
Whoa.
In its inaugural year, all offering menus that are either $25 or $35. And there's really something for everyone, which I think is most notable. I previewed the dishes at Charo Del Rey, hot spot downtown. They have an oyster. You get oysters to start, either salmon or chicken, and then a sorbet for dessert. It's lovely, $35. I had Riley. They have some pasta dishes to choose from. Penka. Chef David Solorzano took over at Penka this year and is a spectacular chef.
Wow.
He has a short rib as the main dish that's been marinated or braised for 24 hours in mezcal. And it is a delight. Plus also churros, arroz con leche. But yeah, if you, Laura Reese said it right on your show last week. She said you should pick something. If you're going to do, pick something you love already. Let's say Feast, you know, something like that. A restaurant you already have a connection to. But then also pick something that you haven't tried yet. It's an opportunity to try some new restaurants. Some of them are running like a greatest hits collection on their is there Sonoran Restaurant Week thing? Something like Boca on 4th Avenue is running an all-new menu, things that they don't normally offer. It's a tribute to her youth growing up in Sonora.
What's a good starting place to find out?
SonoranRestaurantWeek.com has all the information you could possibly want. And then, obviously, social media. They're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
And we got a football game, too.
It's all happening. Go to the football game. Go eat. I mean, it's a full weekend.
Thank you very much, Dan.
My pleasure.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. My thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, the entire team here at Bustos Media in Tucson. That team includes, of course, engineer-producer Bob Dio. Thank you, Bob, for another great show. And on behalf of Dan Gibson, we hope you have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.